Welcome to the Darrell McClain Show. I'm your host, Darrell McClain, and let's get into our episode.
Simply search for the T-Bone and Chick Brew podcast, available wherever fine podcasts are sold.
The Darrell McClain Show is fully listener-supported, independent media that won't lead you to tribalism. You can get a membership for as little as $3 a month at www.patreon.com/TheDarrellMcClain Show.
We talk about a lot of serious topics on this show. One very serious topic is women's health. One company that stood out to me was VSlay.com because the owner is very transparent about her own struggles in the women's health department and has great customer service, great deals, and frequent sales. You can check her out, her great customer service, products about women's health, and frequent sales at www.VSlay.com. That is www.VSlay.com. A lot has happened. A lot has happened since our last episode. One of the things that is new that has happened but is in no way infrequent is in the United States of America, there has been more shootings that they have labeled as mass shooting. There was a racially motivated shooting at a grocery store where a person drove hundreds of miles to a neighborhood he did not live in to target people who had done him no harm. And after that, there was a shooting at a elementary school where some adult, you know, newly adulted person, 18 years of age, goes and shoots up a elementary school in Texas. The 18-year-old killed 19 children and 2 adults in the school rampage. And sadly, from everything that I can see, it looks like the police in this situation did nothing except stand by. They got very tough with parents who were trying to go and protect their own kids. But other than that, they behaved like cowards. I have expressed on this show before and have fully disclosed on this show at previous times that I have had, for all intents and purposes, one profession. And it has always been some type of either contract security or law enforcement, whether it was the Department of the Navy, the Department of Defense with Federal Protective Services, private security with Paragon, Securitas, Top Guard Security, Ally Universal, blah, blah, blah. Then I was thoroughly trained in those events, especially the first 3. Yeah, when an active shooter event happens, you go in, you find the target or the threat, and you neutralize the threat.
You don't wait for backup, etc. If you are the lone man on the scene and you show up, you go in and you do what needs to be done. And this was because this was post Columbine, where we were all shocked by the fact. It was a big scandal, in fact, at that time, that it took over 20 minutes for the police to respond. I actually think in that particular case, it took about 29 minutes. And this is actually not anything new. This is a very tragic, there is a tragic history of police responding too late to active shooters. Confusion, chaos, and wrong information appear to have contributed to law enforcement's delay in stopping the gunman at the Robbs Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. The gunman spent more than 1 hour inside of the school while police waited outside. Authorities say this was because the incident commander, school district police chief Pete Arriendo, treated the scene as a barricade, so what's known as a barricaded person situation rather than an active shooter. Now, details of exactly what went wrong are still hazy, as an investigation is still ongoing. Law enforcement experts say what happened in the U-Lab is reminiscent of what occurred prior in mass shootings, including the attack of Columbine High School in 1999 and at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in 2018. As shown by the U-Lab shooting and others, police are still making tragic missteps in the most critical moments of active shooter situation, regardless of training or even prior experience. Now, when the two students attacked Columbine High School in Little Town of Colorado in 1999, cops were taught at the time that the surrounding the building to create a perimeter. Of course, while they were tending to the wounded, students were inside the school for hours, some injured as they waited to be rescued by members of law enforcement. Now, 3 weeks after the Columbine shooting, the Washington Post reported that decisions made at a hastily assembled command post had excruciating consequences. Following instructions, police methodically through the building, evacuated students instead of racing through the corridor, search of the gunman, but that meant that hours would pass before SWAT teams reach critically wounded teachers on the second floor. The attack at Columbine High was a tragic impetus for law enforcement to review what went wrong and determine how to be better in the future. In the 23 years since Columbine, law enforcement agencies have trained much differently. Columbine changed everything, and an adjunct professor named Joseph Galacolone said at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, and a retired New York City Police Department detective sergeant told the National Public Radio, when you have an active shooter, you have to end the threat, because if you don't, the person continues killing. Following Columbine, police largely adopted a strategy that calls for a four-person team to advance in a diamond-shaped wedge, according to the 2009 review of actions taken in police report on the website Slate. Now, as I was saying before, a solo officer is also trained to potentially go in alone. Now, the report written by Dave Cullen, who later wrote Columbine, an examination of the Columbine High School massacre, he stated that police had since been trained to move toward the sound of gunfire and neutralize the shooter. The goal is to stop him at all costs. They will walk past a dying child if they have to, just to prevent the shooter from killing more. Now, as callous as that sounds, that is what I was trained to do, to enter the building, listen to the sound of gunfire, and neutralize the threat as it is presented. Now, there are those scenarios where they say your active shooter situation will become a barricaded hostage situation. And we were also thoroughly trained on how to respond to those as well. So Cullen went to say that his protocol has worked during the 2007 Virginia Tech shooting. He wrote it probably saved dozens of lives, and the years since, training has continued to evolve in response to the most recent school shooting. There has been very strong movements in law enforcement training for law enforcement to go in as a solo response. And what that means is an officer goes in and stops the threat to stop the killing from occurring, said Lisa Dado, a senior lecturer and the director of the Center for Advanced Policing at the University of New Haven. She is also a retired police lieutenant from the New Haven Police Department in Connecticut. Now, though this may be standard now, instances have shown that fear may get in the way of better responding officers. Like in Uvalde, the same issue arose in Parkland, Florida, during the shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. A commission report analyzed the 2018 shooting found that several officers didn't go in immediately when they arrived at the school. Scott Peterson, the armed school resource officer deputy on the scene at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, most famously didn't go inside when he initially heard gunfire. In the months following the shooting, he took much of the blame for not stopping the gunman sooner. But the report found that several other deputies also didn't respond immediately and rushed into the school to stop the shooter. It's unclear exactly how the UVAP police were trained. A New York Times report found that in August, the 2020 officers from five law enforcement agencies gathered in UVAP to role-play a train to how to stop an active shooter. It was at the same time the school officials were updating security protocols and hiring more officers into the school district police department. They still didn't stop the outcome on May 24th. Dado said she wanted to withhold judgment on what went wrong in Uvalde until she found all the facts that they were known. The public does not know that several law enforcement agencies responded to the school that day, including the school district police department, U.S. Border Patrol, U.S. Marshal Services. In Dano's experience, she knows that this kind of response can create an even more chaotic working environment for responders. She has seen it now in Uvalde, Florida during the 2016 Pulse nightclub shootings. In Las Vegas during the attack, the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival a year later. And mass shooting involves multiple agencies coming together, so you're dealing with different training, you're dealing with different responses, and who's in charge, so it's a massive amount of chaos. And she said that the NPR, at the same time, you have people that are injured and that are dying. And that is the overall point that I like to hammer home. This is not a situation where you had to be guessing about what to do. This is a situation where you got to make those split-second decisions. And I firmly believe that the split-second decision should always be to go in and stop further killing from occurring. You have been told, we have been preached to ad nauseum, the only thing to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Well, you have the good guys with guns and vests and tasers and batons and all the military-grade equipment a lot of these departments have that they would ever need. And you have good guys with guns sitting around deliberating what to do when the bad guy already knows what he's going to do. He's going to kill people. And instead of people going in and doing what it takes to stop them, you're sitting around at a command post bullcrapping of trying to figure out who the on-scene commander is. Now, just from a logistical standpoint, logistics, not logic, this type of bumbling, we don't know what to do, everybody has different policies and procedures type of thing will always happen as long as there is not a consistent response across agency about how you respond to these types of situations. If the Department of Defense is teaching different things in the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI is doing different things in the CIA, and the Border Patrol agencies, who actually did respond, have different protocol, and the federal marshals have different responses, and the school resource officer has a different response than the deputy sheriffs versus the local police, there will always be this bumbling. There needs to be one unified manual that says, point blank, period, across agency, this is what happens when a active shooter situation approaches you. And unfortunately, because of the nature of what we are doing right now in this juncture of the American experiment, it seems like this is a staple that is going to be here to stay. We can have as many debates as we like about guns and high capacity versus low capacity and rifles and versus semi-automatic weapons, guns, and blah, 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 blah. Nothing, and I'm not trying to be a defeatist on this point, but I'm going to tell you, nothing is going to get done. We had a Bernie Sanders supporter a few years ago shoot up some Republican guy at a baseball game. A few years before that, you had a deranged person. I don't think his thing was political. Shoot Democratic Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Shot her in the head. Nothing happened. You got a Republican in power being shot. Nothing happens. You got a Democrat in power being shot in the head. Nothing happens. You got elementary schools being shot. Nothing happens. You got high schools being shot. Nothing happens. You got a college being shot up. Nothing happens. You got a church being shot up. Nothing happens. So if I'm just reading this purely from a historical lens, nothing is going to happen in this case either. I gave up on the idea that something was going to happen on this front the first time I watched somebody went into school and killed children, and America responded with the same old talking points and the same old debate. I knew nothing was going to happen. I knew nothing was going to happen. We watched in horror in the 90s as they shot up a high school. And we pretended like we were going to do something about this just for a few years later to up the ante and shoot up an elementary school. And boy, we thought they were going to do something. I thought they were going to do something to stop this. And then I realized that Americans, a subsection of America, I will say, is more trapped with the ideological bend that they have to always have access to these types of guns because a tyrannical government will encroach upon their rights eventually. And because they hold these views so fundamental, there is no way to get around that they have all collectively decided. We have collectively decided that every few years we have to sacrifice these small children right up until the elderly so that we can continue to protect ourselves from the government attack that is eventually going to happen. And that's really what it's all about. When you fundamentally get down to what people who are large Second Amendment proponents really are thinking about, is that they really believe that there's going to be another civil war and they have to protect themselves from their neighbors, those people over there doing those things that they don't like, or there's going to be a massive amount of government infringement and they have to protect themselves from the police state, from encroaching fascism, from authoritarianism, from the government coming in and taking your stuff away, taking your rights away, taking your liberties. So in order to stop the government from doing that, I need to be able to have access to it, to every gun that I could get. And because of that, and because that is so deeply ingrained in...
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It goes without saying that this show does not happen without listener support. Support the Darrell McClain Show by going to www.patreon.com and getting a membership for $3. Or you can go to buzzsprouts.com/the Darrell McClain Show and hit the subscribe button and join there. Many ways to donate to the show. Independent media that won't reinforce tribalism. We have one planet. Nobody is leaving. So let us reason together. www.patreon.com/the Darrell McClain Show or go to Buzzsprouts and to the Darrell McClain Show and subscribe.
The thought process of Americans. I don't see this problem going anywhere. Just yesterday, actually, there is a kind of a jiu-jitsu guy who, you know, he's a bit of a wild man, Tom DeBlass, who shared a picture or whatnot of, there's a gentleman who was stopped by a woman with a gun, and this wasn't reported. It was a guy who, now he's since deleted the post. I don't know what's the whole point of talking about cancel culture and blah 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 if when you have an opinion you can't even stick by it. But anyway, so he talked about how his graduation party was stopped because there was a good woman with a gun. So the pretext is a guy shows up to a graduation party, convicted felon, four-time convicted felon or something like that. He's got a gun, AR-15. The gun has been stolen, and a good woman with a gun shoots him and stops it from carnage before he's even able to get off one shot. My reply to this is very simple. That is a very good thing if that thing indeed did happen. You still have to look at the other side of that coin, right? You can't even go to a graduation party in America at this point in time without actually having a gun to defend yourself, because some crazy ass is going to come in, or could possibly come in, and shoot up the graduation party. And what actually seems to be happening in this country is it seems less likely that your liberties and your life and your freedoms are going to be taken from you by the government, and more likely that your life, liberty, and freedom are going to be taken from you by some madman who is able to go in and get his hands or her hands on weaponry that can kill you. And that is going to happen in perpetuity, and it does not matter where you are. There is no safe spaces or safe grounds to stop you from this type of American carnage. And I don't mean that in a way to be hyperbolic. I mean that in a way of looking at recent history. It doesn't matter if you are a abortion doctor who is sitting in church, like Dr. Tiller. Somebody will come into your church and they will kill you. And that did happen. It doesn't matter if you are at a high school. Columbine showed that'll happen. Sandy Hook, the elementary school, showed that'll happen. Parkland High School showed that it'll happen. Doesn't matter if you're in school, and now the one in Uvalde, Texas shows, doesn't even matter how young you are. Again, it doesn't matter if you are a normal citizen practicing your faith, as it showed at Mother Emanuel in South Carolina. Somebody will travel to your home of worship and kill you because you just happen to be a different race than them. It does not matter if you're at a graduation party. Somebody will attempt to kill you. It doesn't matter if you are at a movie theater. Somebody will come in there and they will be armed and try to kill you. It doesn't matter if you are at a grocery store 200 miles away. You are not safe. Somebody will drive 200 miles to kill you. It doesn't matter if you are at a grocery store in your neighborhood, at a local Walmart. Somebody will come in there and kill you for the crime of trying to buy bread, for the crime of trying to go to church, for the crime of trying to go to school. Somebody replied to me yesterday and said, freedom is the ability or the right to protect yourself. And I replied back, I said, no, look, freedom is not having the knowledge that you are required in order to actually have a small nugget of safety. You are required to always be armed to the teeth. That is not freedom. That is a response to domestic terrorism. That is a response to terrorism. That is a fearful response and reaction to everything being a danger around you, to you knowing you're not safe, to you knowing your family is not safe, to you knowing your property is not safe, and to know that you are not safe anywhere at any time. To live in fear is not free. It's not free. It's terror. It is a sign of the degradation of society. It is a sign that we devalue so much human life that now you can be killed when you literally have done no harm to the person who's killing you. We already knew that could happen, and you thought it was an event that happened over there far away, and it didn't happen in your neighborhood. And now we know. Now we know this is something that is the new normal. We don't have to worry about Islamic terrorism. We don't have to worry about being attacked from Russia on the outside. We don't have to worry about China or Cuba or any other imagined threat, or Venezuela or anything like that. Apparently what we have to worry about all the time is you and me. And that is the very opposite of what I think it actually means to be in a free society. So, that all being said, everybody that knows me knows this. I own guns, but I'm not a proud gun owner. My gun didn't do anything. It didn't do any training. It didn't go to college. It just sits there. It is a tool that I am forced to carry because crazy people exist and the government is doing nothing to stop the crazy people from existing because the government is full of cowards. But also, to be flat out honest, it is also because I have bought into the notion of fear myself, and I know that I have to be proactive. The bad people are going to be around, and I have no choice but to be armed to the teeth because the government has said there is no solution, and the government has said there is no solution because the people of America has decided that there is no solution. Nothing is going to work. Every law you come up with, of course, If you're a bad person or whatever, they're just going to get around it. They're just going to go around it. We have more guns than we have people, so it seems rather stupid to disarm. But every time when I see another church shot up, another school shot up, a hospital shot up, a movie theater shot up, a Jewish synagogue shot up, this is a, I see a remarkable defeat. A house divided against itself will not stand. Right? Well, how can a house stand if the citizens categorically just keep murdering each other every time somebody has a bad day? So, short show today. Don't really want to do a segue into another topic. Be back on the next episode, hopefully, to talk about something a bit more cheerful. Thank you for tuning in, and see you on the next episode. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Of course, if you want to support the show, you can do so by going to www.patreon.com and getting a membership for as little as $3 a month. Again, that's www.patreon.com/The Darrell McLean Show. The Darrell McLean Show is fully listener-supported, independent media that won't lead you to tribalism. Get a membership and support independent media at www.patreon.com/The Darrell McLean Show.